الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. أحبتي في الله، ستترجم هذه الخطبة الآن إلى اللغة الإنجليزية، فمن أراد أن يستزيد أو يستفيد أو يطور اللغة فحياه الله ومرحبا. وللأخوان الذين لا يتقنون العربية فهذه لأجل فائدة إن شاء الله تعالى. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Him to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The khutbah began by the following statement. As the ummah goes through these difficult times and troublesome phase of the ummah, there are many obligations that are incumbent on us Muslims to do. Because there are so many, a khutbah is not sufficient time to address all of them. So we will pick one thing which any one of us can do. Something that is practical, something that is relevant, something that is easy. And then we will strive to integrate that with our daily lives so that we're not just passive. We're not passive about what's happening. Because there are things that you want to do for the Muslims but you can't do. You don't have enough money, you don't have the ability, whatever. But one thing which we all can do is spread Islam. Giving da'wah. Giving da'wah is not restricted to non-Muslims. It includes both Muslims and non-Muslims. In a broad sense, everyone who is ignorant of something of Islam, we should give da'wah to them to educate them. And obviously the non-Muslim who doesn't know about Islam should be also educated about Islam itself. Now, as easy as this is nowadays with the modern technology, da'wah centers available, booklets, pamphlets, DVDs, the internet, everything is there. Still, some people just have nothing to do with it. Have absolutely nothing to do with da'wah. They think that it is the role of specific people. Only they are allowed to give da'wah and we can just watch them and be entertained. But that is actually incorrect. And that is from the tricks of the shaitan. Everyone has something to do and has a role to play. And we will give some examples inshallah in a little bit. First and foremost, what we need to understand is that da'wah is the occupation of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Azza wa Jal commanded him in numerous ayat to invite the people to Islam. The first ayah which was quoted was, say, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ. Say, this is my path, this is my way. I call to Allah. Pay attention now. He didn't say, I call to a group. Come join us. We are such group with such name. This is our sheikh, you know, the only sheikh in the world. Come. We do this. This is how we practice Islam. We have A, B, C. These are our books. It's very common. People now think, oh, no problem. It's a problem, man. You're dividing the ummah. You are actually dividing the ummah and you're not fulfilling the ayah which didn't say, أدعو إلى حزب. أدعو إلى فرقة. أدعو إلى جماعة. No, it says, أدعو إلى الله. Once one of us becomes a member of a jama'ah, and he adheres to them, he has actually failed in this regard. Good niyyah, no doubt. Good niyyah. We assume everyone has the best intention. But that does not make the action correct. Ibn Mas'ud said, how often has a person had good niyyah which brought no results? The good niyyah by itself is not enough. So the first part, which we should internalize, is, akhi, let's be one ummah, united upon the truth. We don't need division so that we the jama'ah don't like this jama'ah. So there's beef, conflict all the time, conflict. And while we drain ourselves, we get tired in refuting each other and fighting, the non-Muslims are killing us. And we don't have enough power, nor energy, nor intellect, nor knowledge to deal with them because we are lost amongst ourselves. Inappropriate. Not becoming. Let's leave that alone. Leave it alone. When the Ansar and the Muhajireen at some point had a little minor conflict, and one of them said Ansar, he called on the Ansar for support, and the other one called the Muhajireen, the Prophet ﷺ became upset. He said, da'uha, leave this alone, this is filthy. This is jahiliyyah to call to, we are the Ansar, we are the Muhajirin. This is to the Ansar and the Muhajirin. Mind you, they didn't have a group, jama'ah, called Jama'at al-Ansar and Jama'at al-Muhajirin. It was just something that happened once. And he was very stern, alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam. Leave this filth, he called it natina. You know, natina, like garbage bag. You look at it, it stinks. It's just, you don't even want to come close to it. So this whole sectarianism, we should delete it from our account. Cut that stuff out. Work together upon the truth though. The other extreme is everybody goes, yalla, bring everybody together. It's not going to happen either. We cannot really be powerful when we are not on the same level. There must be some harmonious agreement. Which means there should be education. Muslims should be educated about the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, not of any other person. When we all are educated in sense, then the sunnah will bring us together. فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Refer the matters to Allah and His Messenger. But when we refer them to other than the Messenger, then it's bound that we go on to differ. So قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. Upon knowledge, the speech, the lecture, the bayan, whatever you want to call it, it must be upon knowledge. Knowledge is not what you heard from someone. Not what you heard from someone say, so you come and re-narrate what he said, because what he said may be incorrect. And so it is necessary before addressing an issue that you yourself are knowledgeable about it. Not any book you pick up in the market is authentic. No, we have all kinds of books in the market now. Everybody authors. Every Tom, Dick and Harry wants to write a book. But the ulama of all the imams of the four madhahib were way more sensitive to these issues. They weren't really rushing into writing books. They weren't rushing to pose these opinions. They had more care and concern what it may do to the people. So not any book which one reads or any statement he hears is actually authentic enough to be reconveyed to the people. Because the ayah says, ala basira. And there's difference between basar and basira. Basar is your eyesight. Basira is the sight with your heart. The insight. Which means sure knowledge. Not maybe, I think. No. 100%. The ayah says such. The hadith said such. And the hadith is sahih. The hadith is hasan. Hasan li ghayrih. Whatever, as long as it is sound. طيب. أنا ومن اتبعني. I and everyone who follows me. Which means that those who give da'wah upon basira are the followers, the true followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not everybody else. His ummah is large. Many followers in one sense. But in the ultimate sense, the real followers are those who live like him and do what he did. They emulate him in their lives, and they actually are playing the same role in life. They have the same occupations, same job description. The good news about this is that you don't have to quit your current job to do that. It's not like, okay, I'm going to become a da'i. Okay, I'm not going to study anymore. I'm going to leave school, or I'm going to quit my job and just tour the world. No. That is something you can integrate with your work. You can give da'wah at work, you can give da'wah when you're not working. Something that everyone can do. Alhamdulillah. That is the first ayah. There are many other ayat. Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, "Udu'u ila, fad'u ila Rabbik." Call the people to your Lord and Master. وَلَا تَكُنَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And do not be among the polytheists. Showing that what negates da'wah is shirk. It's like tawheed and shirk. When you call to your Rabb, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. When you glorify Allah Azza wa Jal, you're automatically debunking shirk, putting it down. So anyone who integrates shirk into the da'wah of tawheed has failed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and went against the injunctions of Allah Azza wa Jal deliberately. That's why one of the most important things is understanding what da'wah is. Da'wah is la ilaha illallah first and foremost, and then everything else is supporting evidence. Everything else branches off that root, that tree, the trunk of the tree, la ilaha illallah. Now, this is easy, because the Prophet ﷺ said, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٍ. Convey whatever you hear of me, even if it is a single ayah. And a question which was asked on the minbar, which we'll ask again in English. Is there anyone here who doesn't know Ayat al-Kursi? Do you know Ayat al-Kursi? You sure? I believe you. Do you know Ayat al-Kursi? The young boys. Do you know Ayat al-Kursi? You. Everybody knows it. And what is Ayat al-Kursi? It's all about Allah. It was called the greatest ayah because it doesn't deal with deen, debt or business transactions or riba or whatever, Jannah or Jahannam, even that. No, it deals with Allah strictly. The core of Islam. The essence of the message. Which one of us doesn't know Kul Huwallahu Ahad? So if we are commanded to convey a single ayah, and if for one to be a Muslim, he must know at least these two ayat, that means that everyone has an obligation to convey at least these two ayat. Which means when you see a Muslim or a non-Muslim, you should be able to grab him on the side and say, listen man, I see that you disobeying Allah. Do you know Ayat al-Kursi? Do you know Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy, al-qayyum? Should be scared. لَا تَأْخُدُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Don't think Allah is going to slumberness or sleep is going to overtake him so he doesn't know what you're doing. I mean, you just read the ayah and one should say, okay, I need to take it easy because, you know, there's no escape. No escape. Understanding these things will bring about an awakening, a soul awakening, a return to Allah. Any one of us should be able to do so. To the Muslim, let alone a non-Muslim, who could be a Hindu, who worships, you know, cows, and rats, monkeys, elephants, all kinds of animals, even private parts. You know, the two Hindu gods, private parts, male and female, they go do Hajj for them. Pilgrimage, a'udhu billah. Feeble-mindedness. People lost their brain. Christians, you know, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three God in one, and triune God, and three God as in one person. Philosophy doesn't make sense. Common Christian belief. Aren't we able to tell them about La ilaha illallah? Yes, we are. So the question which was asked is, how many non-Muslims have we worked with ever since we've been in the kingdom, whom we've never told anything about Islam? Go to the da'wah center and ask the people that work there what we have heard with our ears. Fulan, 15 years, 15 in the kingdom, no one ever told him anything about Islam. The only thing he knows is that he doesn't get a salary on time because of some wicked mudir or something. That's it. That's the only thing he knows. And the mistreatment of the Muslims to him. That's the only da'wah we gave. Taking away his rights and mistreating him in the name of, you know, we are strong adherents to Tawheed, this is kafir, you know. But that's not da'wah, man. This is not someone who's fighting with you for you to show this izzah which Allah Azza wa Jal commanded us to have. Yes, we don't take him as allies and protectors. But in the field of da'wah, you have to look at the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. See how he went to visit the Jewish boy and give him da'wah at his deathbed. He didn't say, let him go rot in hell. He's just a kafir anyways, he's a Jew. No, he was haris. He was keen on giving him da'wah until he went to his own house. This is the Messenger of Allah visiting someone in his own house. This is the part we have to exemplify in our da'wah as well. So these people live with us and no one tells them anything about Islam. You say, brother, I'm not qualified. I'm shy. You say, you're shy, I'm coffee. Did you get it? You didn't get it. You're shy? Fine. You can be shy, you can drink shy. That doesn't matter to us. Are you too shy to give a book? Do you need to be a sheikh, you know, with a graduate, you know, a degree from Ummul Qura or from some university? Say, I have a degree in what? In handing books. Step number one, you grab the book. Step number two, you extend your hand. Step number three, you put it down. Here's my degree. I do this the best. Nobody gives you this. Anyone, grab a book, give it to someone. You've done your job, ya akhi. Go to the da'wah center, put 20, 30 riyals. I'm not trying to propagate the da'wah center, by the way. I'm trying to bring a business. But it's cheap. Buy a bunch of pamphlets, a bunch of booklets. You know, they come in packages, 5 riyals each, 3, 4 books. Keep them in your glove compartment. You're driving around, you see someone who's a Muslim, say, this is a gift from me to you. See you later. Keep driving. Khalas. It's easy. If you can't speak, if you can't explain, if you can't, it's easy. Just give them at least let them know what Islam is. So they can read in the book what they don't see with their eyes. See, okay, so Muslims are not doing the job. But Islam is good. Islam itself is teaching good things. These Muslims have a problem. Which we do. We do. We are, illa man rahim Allah, generally, we're bad representatives. A minority really represent the beauty of Islam. The majority make it seem very, very tough. And very difficult to deal with. What is waiting for one of us in terms of ajr? Some people say, brother, you know, I pray my nawafil, and I pray, you know, qiyamul layl. Alhamdulillah, I read one juz'ah of the Quran every day. I fast every Monday and Thursday. Barakallah fi. Fantastic. And this is called naf'un qasir. This is a benefit restricted to you. The ulama say there's something better than all of that. Better than your siyam and nawafil, better than your qiyam al layl, better than all of that. Which is what? An naf'ul muta'addi. The benefit which affects others. The benefit which overrides to others. This is better than the one which is personal to you. What are you doing in regards to that? What is the ajr waiting for you? It's clear. The Prophet ﷺ said, for Allah to guide one man to Islam, to guide him through you, it's better for you than owning red camels. You will say, red camels, even if they gave me a red camel for free, I don't want it. I'll say, give me a bicycle. Because you really can't ride a camel down the street. Go to Danube on a camel, come back on a camel. People will think you lost your mind. In the community at least. People don't want red camels. But you know what? Until now, they sell them for millions of riyals. They have competitions and the best camel and she camel and all this stuff still has its value. But let's say we're disconnected from the Bedouin life and from the desert life. We're more modern. We like cars, Mercedes, Ferrari, whatever. Then the red camels is better than whatever you can think. Whatever you think is valuable of modern, today castle, Hummer, whatever you want. A red camel is better than all of that. So it's better for you than owning all this property for one person to become a Muslim. For Allah to guide one person, not even become Muslim, Yahdi. For someone to return to Allah. He could be a deviant Muslim whom Allah brings to the truth. He could be a disobedient Muslim who repents to Allah. It doesn't matter. One person returns to Allah better for you than everything else. This is a big investment. And we talk business, you know, business. We're always thinking about business, investment. I put 1 riyal, I want to make 5. That's how we think. You're doing something little, you're getting ajr beyond your imagination. The hadith says, "Man da'a ila huda, kana lahu min al-ajri mithlu ujuri man tabi'ahu la yanqus dhalika min ujurihim shay'an." Whoever calls people to guidance will have a reward equivalent to those who follow him without them losing any of their reward. You don't go 50-50. You don't go 50-50. You get the full reward of the person like him. Because you were the service provider. You were the reminder. You were the one who brought this to his attention. So that some of the hadith mentioned on Yawm al-Qiyamah, a person will come and he will find mountains of good deeds like Tihama. Say, what is this? I wasn't praying at night that good. I did it once a week maybe. They will say, this is the ajr of the people that you give da'wah to. This is their deeds in your book of deeds. Because we have to believe the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So the truth of the matter is, this is a big investment. But the shaitan, does he want you to invest or he doesn't want you to invest? That's a big problem for him. The last thing he wants is that you get closer to Allah and that people are benefiting. Oh no. Because he's losing. Now he doesn't lose one person. If he loses one person, it's one thing. But if he loses a community, that's victory for him. إِنَّمَا يَدْعُ حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ He's calling his own people, all of them, to be among with him in the companions of the hellfire. He doesn't want one person, he wants a whole hizb. In fact, he wants the majority. He wants the majority. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ الْمُخْلَصِينَ Except the sincere, selected few servants of Allah, which we want to be of. So it really serves him that you are closed in on yourself. That you are shy, that you're an introvert, you don't want to mix. It serves them very well. In the name of zuhd, in the name of avoiding the fitan, I don't want to deal with the fitan, you know, this is that. This is from the tricks of the shaitan. No. Go out there and mix with the people, deal with it, be patient. This is why Luqman said to his son, oh my son, Ya Bunay, my little son, given him this nice title, Ya Bunay, Aqim al-Salah, establish Salah, fix yourself first. And if you want to know whether you're good or not, check your salah. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Enjoy what is good. وَنْهَا عَنِ munkar, forbid what is evil, and when you do these three, there's something that's going to happen to you, which is adha, harm. Then he said, wasbir ala ma asabak, and then be patient in regards to that which you will be afflicted with. Because it's a natural consequence. It's a natural consequence when you give da'wah, that there will be resistance. Either people say, you know, too many things, everything is haram, bad man. But the person wants good for you. No, no, no. He's calling to this, you know, he's a Wahhabi. Let's be honest. Stop sugarcoating. It's Wahhabi, everything haram, haram, haram. Doesn't love the Messenger of Allah. Doesn't want to celebrate this. Doesn't. Ya Sheikh, haram. Haram alayk. What Wahhabi, what? What Wahhabi, ya? Wahhab is Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-Wahhab. Number one. Number two, there's no such thing as Wahhabism. If you're referring to a man named Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, who found the people worshipping graves and dead people, said, stop, you know, let's go back to La ilaha illallah. And so the people, like the mushrikeen before, don't like it. They never like it. Remember what Allah said in Surah As-Saffat? What did Allah say? إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّ لَتَارِكُوا آلِهَتِنَا لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونَ. Subhanallah. Listen to this crazy stuff. The mushrikeen before, whenever it was said to them, La ilaha illallah, yastakbirun, they become prideful and arrogant. So they give you names. You're a Wahhabi. And what do they say? A'inna la tariku alihatina. Do you want us to abandon these objects of worship? Li sahirin majnoon. They said the Messenger of Allah is a magician and he's mad. He's a mad magician. They used to call him As-Sadiqul Amin. When he told them, La ilaha illallah, he became sahir wa majnoon wa kahin. And history repeats itself. It repeats itself. You come find the Muslims do a shirk, you say, La ilaha illallah, they're going to give you the same name. Qarnu shaitan, Najdi, this and that. You see this all over YouTube, all over the... What's going on? People, take it easy. Learn, learn. Don't be a plate. Whatever they throw in it, you accept. Allah gave you some intellect. Use it. Understand what is being plotted for us here. This is a name given in order to divide the ummah, to keep him distant from the thing which brings us together. We don't call for any sect. No Wahhabi, no nothing. It's Islam only. Islam. What is Islam? La ilaha illallah. Anything which conflicts with that, we have to remove it. That is what the Prophet ﷺ did. They offered him the kuffar. Said, listen, we struck a deal with you. 1 year, you know, you worship our aliha, and one year we worship Allah. And so Allah revealed, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. Now, there's no compromise in tawheed. There's no 1 year for me, 1 year for you. Khalas, this is a done deal. No way we will integrate calling on anyone but Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the da'wah has become quite easy in the sense, because of the ajr that is awaiting the person, a huge amount of ajr, more than you can ever dream of, is waiting for you at the doorstep. But the shaitan strives day and night to keep us away. He keeps us away on different levels depending on the person. He knows from where to come to you. He knows every person where his weakness is. So he goes from in there. We have to become aware of these traps and be able to prevent them and protect ourselves from them, so that we can continue to strive to give da'wah to the deen of Islam. Because at the end of the day, it is the most honorable position of all. What made us Muslims superior to other religions is what Allah said in the Quran. Quran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You were the best nation ever, ever produced, ever put out, ever delivered to people. Why? Because of what? Our nationalities? No. Because of our names? No. Because of our appearance? No. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Three things. If we don't do them, we're not the best. At least one of us. We enjoin what is good, we forbid what is evil, we believe in Allah. We believe in Allah. One will say, but I already believe in Allah. Yes, but there are so many things we don't know. Yeah, we believe in Allah in His existence. We believe the Quran is revelation. But if you were to ask the average Muslim, Akhi, can you tell me more about Allah's names and attributes? What do we Muslims believe? What did the Sahaba believe? What did the Imams believe? What did they believe about Allah's names and attributes? Because you read the Quran, you find some different ayat. The Allah rising over the throne, Allah has hands, Allah has a face, and some people get scared. Say, what does this mean? So, have we actually bothered to go back and read what they used to believe then, and so we can try to emulate them and believe like them? Or do we simply believe everything which is being fed, spoon-fed to us? This is what you have to believe. Most Muslims don't know. They just know, and some of them say, I don't want to discuss it, I'm not a alim. Yeah, but this is your Lord. You should know what Allah said. Allah called Quran Mubin. It's a Quran which is clear. We should be able to understand its clarity. We should know what these actually mean. Which means there's a lot of studying that we're not doing. Instead, we're playing video games. We're spending too much time eating. I mean, okay, eat. But how long does it take to eat? Some people eat for 45 minutes this year. 45 minutes eating and eating and eating and talking and eating and talking. So much time is being wasted. If you ate in 10 minutes and read a book for 35 minutes, in 1 year you become a sheikh. You would know way more than you think. I mean, Allah made it easy. Give us a brain that functions, really. We just have to know how to prioritize. We really have to know how to prioritize. That's one thing we can do for the ummah. If we're unable to do something beyond that to our brothers in Syria and elsewhere, there's not much we can do because of our inabilities, because of the situation we're in. The one thing we can do is spread Islam. When Islam is spread, the Muslims become stronger. When the Muslims become stronger, khalas. Nobody can defeat us. Nobody can defeat us. We'll be able to defend any Muslim anywhere in the world. But we don't have this kind of unity. We don't have this kind of strength. We have been weakened because of lack of knowledge, because of not giving da'wah, because of division. We have to get rid of these issues so we can support the ummah at large. One, and just to finish, you will say, okay, then does that mean that if we don't do this, the ummah will fail? The answer is no. You wished. If we don't do the job, the ummah will not fail. The ummah has been promised success. Promised success from Allah. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who is more truthful than Allah in a speech, in a statement? No one. No one. So when Allah promised that this ummah will prevail, when the Prophet ﷺ said, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا. Islam began being strange, it will go back to being strange. فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَاءِ. So give the glad tidings to the strangers. قَالُوا مَنْ هُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They said, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? قَالَ الَّذِينَ يُصْلِحُونَ عِنْدَ فَسَادِ النَّاسِ. فِي إِحْدَى الرِّوَيَاتِ. He said, those who rectify themselves and the people around them when the people become corrupt. He promised that Islam will go, will have strangers adhering to it. Even if the people become bad, they will never leave Islam. They will never stop supporting the deen. These are the strangers which we want to be with. If we don't, Islam will remain, but we will be replaced. يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ. Allah will bring another people. يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Allah loves them and they love Him. In another ayah, وَلَا يَكُونُوا ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. Then they will not be like you. If we don't get involved in this da'wah, if we don't get involved in this propagation, if we don't work for Islam, no problem. Allah will substitute us with other people. We will just go get some busy with the dunya. Dunya, busy, busy, money, money, degree, money, degree, money, degree. Eat, food, TV, entertainment, soap opera, Bollywood, go ahead. Have fun. Hollywood, Bollywood, everything. I'm not picking on Bollywood, don't worry. Anything which is entertainment is a losing business. Fit them. Leave them. Someone else will come. And they will do the job. We will lose. We will lose. So we don't want to lose. We don't want to be thrown out and someone else brought in our place. We want to be involved in this. Because if we are involved, this is the best thing you can do for yourself and for the Muslims and for the life to come. The best thing ever is to really practice Islam in our lives. Teach it to our children and make sure that everybody around us is on the same page. Removing these barriers between us, building bridges between us, getting rid of all the sectarianism that has afflicted the ummah, just leaving all that aside. You, my Muslim brother, you should love me and should love you. I love for you and I love for myself. Because you're this jama'ah, leave the jama'ah. I leave the jama'ah, you leave the jama'ah. Come together, man. Let's come together to the Quran and the Sunnah. As long as we have jama'at, it's not going to happen. Because if the Muslims were to fight, if they were to engage in war and time of salah comes, trust me, the imam of the jama'ah would pray on his own and the imam of the other jama'ah would pray on his own. Yeah? Yeah, they can't stay just like it was in the haram before. They won't be able to pray as one jama'ah. Because he says, you know, he does raf'u al-yadayn, I don't want to do raf'u al-yadayn. But this is, you know, the biggest fitna in the world, raf'u al-yadayn. Shaykh, khalas. Raf'u al-yadayn, sunnah. Want to do it, jazakallah khair. It's authentic. Many sahaba, over 18, in Bukhari, narrated the Prophet ﷺ did raf'u al-yadayn. You're not convinced? It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. You're losing on a sunnah. But to make this a reason for division and hatred and enmity, because he does raf'u al-yadayn, he doesn't do raf'u al-yadayn. I don't pray behind someone who does raf'u al-yadayn. I prefer someone who doesn't do raf'u al-yadayn because I don't do raf'u al-yadayn. This is musibah, ya akhi. This is a big musibah. Who cares, man? There's more important things we have to focus on. So division has to end. It doesn't end until we all return to the Quran and the Sunnah. Leave alone this inna wajadna aba'ana ala ummah. We found our forefathers like this, we have to follow their footsteps. We have to leave that alone. We have to work together, inshallah, upon the haqq, upon the truth. We don't play with the truth. So that this ummah will rise. It's Allah has made it so easy, yeah, and it's a shame. On the phone, on the laptop, on the computer, on the internet, wherever you go, the means have become available. We have to get involved. So I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to help us out and to, you know, enable us to act upon this and to be among those who propagate His religion and provide service to Islam, because this is the most honorable thing in the sight of Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Jazakumullah khair for your patience. Sorry for taking long and look forward to seeing you all in the future. Allahu alam when, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum.